You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to today's Irish action in Sligo. We've got a national hunt card to look forward to there. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Morning, Mark. Yes, very well. Full of the joys and all that.
Yes, good man. Bit of a change in Ireland today. We've gone from classics in the Curragh to racing over the obstacles at Sligo, so a bit different this afternoon.
It is a little bit different pace, yeah, different feel to it. But, I'm still keen as mustard, really, with... a card like Sligo, as I would be at the very top end of the Irish sort of echelon with the Group Ones at the Curragh. Oh, come on, like to me, mate. It's all about being, flexible.
Take it all in your stride.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just have a little bit of a chat about the weekend, though, Andy. The Curragh, obviously significant racing there. We'll start with the Sunday, the action on the Sunday, and the Irish 1,000 Guineas. A little bit of a surprise. Quite a shock, actually. Minding was beaten by Jet Setting, who was obviously a great story, getting picked up quite cheaply and giving Adrian Keatley his first classic success. So what did you make of the Irish 1,000 Guineas?
Personally speaking, I was absolutely delighted because not only did I retain the faith in Jet Setting, obviously I had a few quid on her as well. I must admit, going into the race, I wasn't expecting perhaps for her to turn the form around definitely with Minding, but I certainly think, given the conditions that she faced at the Curragh on Sunday, she had a half a chance of getting a little bit closer and maybe, being good enough to finish in the frame. That was certainly the feeling I would get from connections. I know a couple of the lads who own Jet Setting. A good friend of mine, John Kilbride, is the guy who runs the partnership, and he bought the horse for 12 grand. Basically, we've followed the horse all the way through the season. She's a very, very good mare, a filly on soft ground, as we know. A Cork win, a Leopardstown win suggested that. She was a bit disappointed in the Guineas when they stumped up 30 grand for her to run in the race, largely due to the fact that the speed figures I was telling them was good enough to run in a grade Group 1. And they went through again. They went, it was a brave move, that was. Another 30 grand having to get beat in the Guineas. Your gut reaction is thinking, oh, is she quite good enough? But they did. They stumped up the cash and they got their just rewards. But there was no fluke about it because the time figures were the best on soft ground I've got this season from a three-year-old filly. So although there's a lot of long faces Minding got beat, it wasn't the big surprise for those of us that do keep numbers that Jet Setting was able to run the way she did.
Yeah, particularly in those conditions as well. Those two pulling a long way clear. And do you fancy that on better ground, Minding would have come out on top?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think Minding is a top-class filly. It was just the ground yesterday, but it was very much in Jet Setting's favour. What they do now with the winner, I don't know. They'll obviously get quite a lot of fancy offers. She's very much ground-dependent, though. That's the problem if you're thinking sort of Group 1s in the middle of the summer, which is what you'd normally expect a sort of three-year-old filly to that route to go down. Whether they decide to sort of let her go and move her on, I don't know. But she's done all that they, spending 12 grand on her to win a 170 grand race of Group 1, and she's probably worth the thick end of a million quid now. I bet they can't believe it.
Yeah, it's quite a story, isn't it? Minding's still even money favourite for the Oaks, by the way, Andy. Do you still see her being the one to beat in that race?
Although you wouldn't be in a mad rush to take even money right this stage. You'd probably just wait till the day. You'd certainly get at least that. You don't know what else Ballydoll are going to do. They obviously pull a rabbit out of the hat and they change their mind and change, running plans. They're always fluid up until the last minute almost. So it's a market which is a little bit shrouded in doubt, very similar to the Derby. So I'm just prepared at the moment just to sit on my hands and wait to see what runs on the day.
What about the Irish 2000 Guineas, Andy, the day before? Ortard the winner there, and pretty well-received winner as well. People really seem to warm to the Kevin Prendergast runner. He seemed to be the talking point of the day, really.
Yeah, well, he's almost like the local horse, really, the unsung hero going into the race. He's 2 for 2 at the Curragh this season. We knew that he'd handle the ground better than most, and that was the crucial factor, wasn't it? I think Galileo Gold has run well as can be expected under the conditions on the day. He probably wants a slightly better surface, and he obviously represented the English 2,000 guineas form. So, you know, you'd have to believe that it's just a very, very good race. The fact that Blue De Vega was well back in third, who run his heart out, and quite a few of the others are strung out all over the Curra, then, you know, you think the form should be very, very smart. Ortad is very similar to Jet Set. You know, you wouldn't want to be going overboard on a good surface, and obviously he's going to be restricted where he runs between now and the end of the season. But Pavani does get some cuts in the ground, he's always going to be massively competitive.
Yeah, and it sets up a mouth-watering prospect for Royal Ascot. It looks like those two may meet again, Ortad and Galileo Gold in the St James's Palace Stakes, and adding to the mix the Gurkha, who won the French Guineas as well, and we're set for a real cracker there at Royal Ascot. So got that to look forward to. What else stood out to you over the weekend, Andy? You've got a two-year-old in mind, haven't you?
Yeah, obviously keeping tabs on some of these two-year-olds. I think we've got a very, very smart bunch this year, because my time figures are getting even quicker than they have been over the last few years. There's a spectacular performance by a horse of Aidan O'Brien's in the Marlborough Hall Stakes called Caravaggio, gelded by Scat Daddy. He showed plenty of pace when backed off the board to win first time up at Dundalk, and even though he ran green that day, he obviously showed plenty of natural talent, and he put that talent to good use at the Curra on Saturday when he absolutely spread-eagled his field in a quite sensational speed figure time. Furlong per furlong, it was much better than the likes of Downforce, who won the handicap, Mobster, who won the Greenlands, and of course Ortada himself, who won the Irish 2000 Guineas. So for that two-year-old to do that on that ground is truly sensational. I think the second horse is right out the top door as well. I think Darren Bunyan's charge, Mr. Trade, will definitely be Royal Ascot bound. But I do suggest to regular Irish podcasters that whatever race Caravaggio does running at the Royal Meeting, whether it'll be the Norfolk or the Coventry Stakes, either one of those two targets will be muted, then you should follow this horse religiously throughout the rest of the season. If he runs over five furlongs, I don't think there's anything remotely quick enough to get anywhere near him. I don't know whether he'll stay an extra furlong, but yeah, he's the quickest horse I've got for many, many years over that trip.
Right, and Bold then on Caravaggio, put that in your notebook for Royal Ascot and wherever he runs next. Let's get stuck into today's action, Andy. Let's not digress any longer. We've got plenty to look forward to at Sligo on Monday evening. The first race is the 5:25. We've got a maiden hurdle to look forward to over 2 miles, and the market headed by Let's Dance, who's 2-13 at the time of recording this. Ciao Cielo is 6-1, 16-1 for Giant Spirit, 40s for Dawn Raider, and St Lawrence Gap, and 50-1 are bigger prices for the others. So a real, real short price favourite in the opener, Andy. How do you play this? Do you take on the favourite, or do you play without the favourite? How would you do it?
Yeah, I probably would have to go without the favourite here. It's the only real option we've got, really, to be honest. It's quite odd that William Mullins is persevering with this Let's Dance. Obviously, he's trying to get a win under her belt, because at the moment, she's just been one of those highest-rated maiden-in-training sort of horses that we often get. Some of them obviously don't always perform up to a certain level thereafter, but I just think this horse has been massively unlucky. Obviously, her last three runs have all been Grade 1 affairs behind the likes of Footpad and Ivanich Skorbachev, Apple's Jade, the very, very best juveniles that we've seen for quite some few years have all been her opposition of late. And obviously, she's going to find this a much easier task tonight. It should be an absolute penalty kick of all penalty kicks. Therefore, we've only really got Ciao Cielo as an obvious each-way stroke without the favourite alternative. Comes from a local stable as well, Mark McNiff, who's got a decent chance or two here tonight. And he ran respectively on his debut behind a horse called Le Vagabond from the Edward O'Grady stable, who went on to win a Premier Handicap down at Killarney the other day. So that form has obviously been boosted. My only slight reservation about this horse is it did hang to the left throughout the last couple of furlongs in that particular race and didn't look the most willing, let's say, under pressure. But raw ability-wise and the way he'll get himself into the race should see him at least be good enough to chase home the favourite. So it's just one of those races. If you're needing greeting and need a bet, then Ciao Cielo is the bet without the favourite. But the favourite, I think, will win by, well, should win by pulling a card.
That's the opening race. And race number two is the 5:55. This is a mare's handicap hurdle over 2 miles. 9-2 joint favourites this morning, but they're going opposite ways in the market. Isabella Liberty 4-1 out to 9-2. And Mystic Princess is 11-2 into 9-2. It's 6-1 for R. Rachel. Annie Alan is 7-1. It's 10-1 for Josephine Marcus. 12s for Raf McNative and Cape Hampshire. A real springer in the market is Sweet Little Lies, who's 25-1 into 12-1. And 14s are bigger for the others. How do you work this out, Andy? Quite an open race, and you just mentioned the McNiff stable. It's quite local to the track. You've got a mare here who's a course and distance winner in the past. Is that your logical starting point?
Yeah, sometimes you get horses that totally just jump out the page in certain racing, don't even have to delve into any form lines. And the one that presents itself here is this Mystic Princess from the locally trained Mark McNiff stable. She comes here off the back of a good win last time at Downpatrick. She clearly likes switch back up and down Dale tracks because she's got good form at that northern venue. And similar to that track, Sligo obviously presents a very certain terrain when they obviously go downhill down the back and they have to come up the stiff uphill incline to the line. She's also won here as well. In fact, she won here at this corresponding meeting last year. So she clearly likes these sort of tracks. She likes brush hurdles. And her two wins as well, noticeably, have come in the month of May. So she's obviously very much a spring stroke summer filly. Also on top of that, that time figure that she posted that day at Downpatrick, not only was the fastest furlong per furlong time on that particular card, but her final circuit was over 15 lengths quicker than anything else on the card as well. And there's some good horses on that card as well. A horse that's gone on subsequently to win the other day down in Downpatrick. So I think this is a really good bet here tonight. Obviously, you've got to respect one or two others in the race, Isabella Liberty, R. Rachel. They come here off the back of good runs. And I can certainly see why one or two punters are looking towards James Fiend's Sweet Little Lies, who finished fourth behind Oisin James, who went on to win the other day down in Clonmel. But it's all about this Mystic Princess. She's got the figures, she's got the track form, she's got the ground. What's not to like? 9-2 as well this morning with William Hill. Nice each-way price.
Nice each way bet for Andy then in the 5.55. The 6.25 is race 3 on the card. This one is a rated novices hurdle over 2.5 miles. Lofgren is the 5-2 favourite. 4-1 for Bringer of the Dawn. Our Little Luck is 4, supported from 5s this morning. 4-1 for Bay of Freedom. Delegate is 9-2 and 20-1 for Not What I Am. Interesting races, Andy. Interesting bunch of novices. All 6 of them won their latest hurdle start as well. So what do you make of the 6.25?
Yeah, a real cracking heat this, actually. There's a lot of nice prospects in this on a fairly smallish scale. Lofgren obviously has won his last two. He's in great form. He threatens to stay the trip really well, so he's obviously a worthy favourite of sorts. I've really got a lot of time for Bringer of the Dawn, who won well for the podcast 2 starts ago in Ballinrobe. And I thought his career was going to go very much in the one direction, over fences, but they've decided to bring him back over hurdles. He definitely wants further than 2 miles, and he's got that tonight. But the two I quite like here at the prices, a Delegate and the well back this morning, Our Little Luck. I'd probably play those two against the field at 4-1, 9-2 respectively. Thomas Gibbon, his Our Little Luck, finally broke his duck last time out after a series of good efforts, including a good 7th in the EBF final behind Coney Island at Fairy House the time before, by winning at Cork last time out in fairly impressive fashion. His time figures are good. He obviously wants better ground than he has been encountering in the winter, and I really do like him. And the other one is Delegate, as I mentioned. He also comes here off the back of a confidence-boosting win after a long series of near misses. And he did in good fashion at Kilbeggan by winning quite readily. Prior to that, he was 3rd in a very fast time figure down in Damron behind Derulo. So him, along with Our Little Luck, definitely come here with the number 1 and number 2 figures in my book anyway. And like I say, I'd definitely play those two against the field.
Couple against field friendly in the 6.25, and race number 4 is the 6.55, and this is division 1 of this 2 mile handicap hurdle. 11-4 favourite is La Tessa at the time of recording this. 7-2 for Blackwater Bridge. 15-2 Miss Faithful. Island Villa is 8-1. It's 11s for Poznan Pilot, and 14-1 are bigger prices for the others. This looks tricky, Andy. Can you help us out in the 6.55?
Yeah, hopefully I can. Yeah, I really like Shane Nolan's La Tessa here, who up until now hasn't won a race in 11 starts, but definitely signs are that this horse is about to strike, certainly on the evidence of its last performance at Down Royal, if anything's to go by. Travelled really strongly in that race behind the pace, and looking as though that it only really got to get a clear run from 2 out to the last to win, but unfortunately that's where the problem started to occur for this horse. It never saw any daylight whatsoever in behind horses, and even though Ian McCarthy was trying to get a run with this horse, he couldn't quite manage it until very late. Once he did get a bit of clear daylight, he absolutely took off up the inside and was an agonising 3rd. I think with a clear run, he would have won that day. So arguably, he comes here a winner without a penalty. And he's been nicely punted already this morning. So obviously, one or two punters, such as myself, are already locking onto this horse already. So La Tess, on the evidence of his last run, is surely going to be there or thereabouts here tonight.
Latessa Ferrandi in the 6.55 then. The 7.25 is race 5 in the card, Division 2 of this 2-mile handicap hurdle. Spring Forward is the 2-1 favourite, was 9-4 out to 5-2 and back into 2-1. 5-1 for Staten Island, 7-1 for the Fox Tully, 8-1 from 10s for Beautiful Ben, 11s for Vocal Air, and 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. What do you make of this race, Andy? We've got a favourite here who's been relatively expensive to follow so far.
Yeah, he's lightly raced, but at the same time, you're right, he's been punted quite extensively in the last two or three runs, and albeit he's run quite well, he hasn't actually got off the mark yet. So 2-1 looks a bit skinny from where I'm sitting. I'm going to go with Beautiful Ben here from the Dennis Hogan stable, a horse that very much requires good ground to be at his best, and with the conditions continuing to dry out over in Ireland at the present moment in time, good to yielding in places at time of recording, then he should have every chance of getting back to something like his best. He's got plenty of good speed figures behind his name. I've got him running amazingly 5 of the 6 fastest times in this race when he's got his condition. So everything looks set fair for him here tonight. You can forget his last run at Ballin Road to a certain degree, albeit he ran quite well up to a point when he finished out behind Isabella Liberty, because the ground was on the soft side. And like I say, he just doesn't really operate on soft winter ground. He usually comes good at this time of year. And it's interesting that Dennis Hogan chooses him over his stable companion, Drive the Bus, who I thought, actually, when I looked at this race this morning, did have a bit of a squeak, because he absolutely loves it here at Sligo. He's finished first and third on his 2 runs here at this track. And he's been plying his trade over fences, now coming back over hurdle. So I think he's definitely got bright prospects of landing it with one or two of these, Dennis Hogan. Drive the Bus obviously being the bigger price of the two. But I'm going to go with the one he's riding himself, with Beautiful Ben.
Beautiful Ben for Andy there. Then the 7.55 is race number 6 on the card. This is Martinstown Opportunity maiden hurdle. 2.5 miles is the trip, and we've got a well-backed favourite this morning. Rathnir Rebel is 5-1 into 11-4 at the top of the market. Pac-Man is 7-2, 4-1 for Glencairn View, 11-2 sizing Alberta, 6 is Slemish, 10s or bigger for the rest. What do you make of the 7.55, Andy?
Well, certainly ability-wise and time-figure-wise, there's no doubt that Pac-Man should be there or thereabouts in a race like this. He's run some really good races of late in good, solid handicaps, including third in the Martinstown Opportunity final behind Elusive Ivy at the Punchestown Festival. The only slight concern about him is that he just doesn't seem to want to get his head in front. So with that in mind, I'm going to go with Glencairn View from the Tony Mullins stable. Finished second behind a very good horse of William Mullins's the other day called Live, Love, Laugh. He certainly did enough to suggest that he's going to be competitive in a race of this nature here tonight. Prior to that, he was a good third in a decent race. He killed Began on good ground. And I think decent ground could well be the key to this horse. So with everything in his favour and a very solid-looking profile with regards to him always finishing in the frame, just too tempting to resist each way in the 7.55.
Each way angle for Andy in the 7.55. Then the penultimate race on the card is the 8.25. This one is a handicap hurdle over the extended 2.5 mile trip. 11-2 joint favourites here with Overtures and Happy as Larry at the top of the market. Money for Sounds of Thunder as well, 10s into 7s. 7-1 for Exit 7. Sunshine is 10-1, as is the Madwell and Charlander. 14s are bigger for the others. Another open race at Sligo, Andy. Who would you side with in the 8.25?
Yeah, sometimes I like to just look outside the little box a little bit for a smidgen of value, and I think I might have just found one lurking amongst the pack here in the shape of A Touch of Sparkle from the Shane Crawford stable. Stable, of course, who's not a million miles away from Sligo here. They're training in Northern Ireland. And I just want to stay with that form really at Downwall on the 2nd of May. Of course, Derulo was the horse that took that race. And back in third was a horse I've tipped earlier on the card called Delegate, who's gone on to win subsequently at Kilbeggan. And even though this horse has beaten quite some way, ran about 20-odd lengths back in 6, she certainly did enough to suggest she could be competitive in handicaps off a mark of just 91. Even in finishing 6 on that occasion, her speed figure comes out quite well on my sheet. She hasn't got that much to find with the horses who've got more experience than her. So, like I say, it's just a total flyer, but I think 14-1 for A Touch of Sparkle, that could represent quite a bit of value there in that.
Bit of value there for Andy in the penultimate contest. The concluding race is the 8.55. We finish with a bumper over 2.25 miles. Cadeo de Bressel is the 6-4 favourite. 11-2, 10 Theatre, Imperial Way 7s, 9s for Carn Spindle, 10-1 for Atlantic Storm, 14s Nurch and Mr Clarkson, and it's 20-1 or bigger prices for the others. Who do you side with in Lucky Last, Andy?
Well, there's not a great deal to go on here. I'd have to stick with Cadeo de Bressel. Obviously, there could be something lurking amongst the pack that's good enough to beat this horse. But the fact that he was sent off 5-6 favourite to win last time out at Down Royal suggests that connections obviously Thought he was a decent prospect in the making. And we didn't get the clues to run through that day. Nina Carberry was trying to go for all sorts of gaps in the closing stages, and obviously they didn't quite materialise. Whether he was good enough to take them is obviously open to question. But he's got to be better than what he showed on that occasion, surely. Actually, it wasn't a bad little bumper, that, because the second Jamie Summers has gone on to win quite readily the other day at Kilbeggan. So it might just well be that was half a decent bumper for the track at this time of year. Obviously, there's got to be interest in the ones that have been punted already this morning. Interesting that Paddy Mullins rides Imperial Way for Thomas. And, he's not adverse to having winners in bumpers either. But Canada Brazil, he ran well enough, certainly, to suggest that, he could be competitive in a race of this nature. And you're probably just about giving one more go.
Canada Brazil then for Andy in the lucky last. As usual, Andy, quick summary, if you wouldn't mind. Spin us through your selections at Sligo one more time.
Yeah, looking forward to the action tonight at Sligo. It's usually a track which pays to follow locally trained horses, so with that in mind, we've very much gone down that route here tonight. Although we've gone with Willie Mullins' charge in the first Let's Dance with Ciao Ciao as the obvious forecast stroke bet without the favourite, then get on to the really good stuff in the 5.55 man nap of the night, indeed the nap of the day's Mystic Princess from the locally trained Mark McNiff stable. In the 6.25, two against the field there would be Thomas Gibney's Our Little Look and the Gordon Elliott's Delegate. In the 8.55, Alatessa was really unlucky the last day down in Downroll, and hopefully he gets a chance to put the record straight there. 7.25, Dennis Hogan looks as though he's got a pretty strong hand with his two, Beautiful Ben and Drive the Bus, with the former getting the vote over the latter. And the 7.55, Glen Cairnview looks a decent each-way poke there, given his overall profile. 8.25, Trapio Handicap, but I'll take a little bit of a punt that a touch of sparkle is better than the handicapper suggests. And the final race, not particularly strong view here, but hopefully Cadab de Brazil, who ran in a decent bump last time out, can finally justify his strong reputation in the final race.
Superb. Good work, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck. Enjoy Sligo tonight, and we'll speak to you ahead of Goran Park on Wednesday.
Yeah, look forward to it, Mark. Cheers, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.